can all get a bit stressed out sometimes, adults or children. An interactive exhibition in Naarm or Melbourne on Kulin Country aims to help children deal with those speed bumps in their mental health by getting them in touch with their senses, with nature, and with art making. Created and hosted by RMIT University, the Children's Sensorium features light and colour and touch and sound, smell, taste to activate kids' curiosity, connect them to Kulin Country and support emotional resilience and well-being. Erica Voles visited the Sensorium and spoke to adults and kids about the exhibition.
My name's Grace McQuilton and I'm the curator slash producer of the Children's Sensorium.
Describe for me what we're standing in front of.
The Sensorium features a range of structures which are for children to climb into and to feel cosy and safe, and they're inspired by Nawik Carolyn's descriptions of wheelams, which are huts or camps in Bunurong language.
And Nawik Carolyn Briggs is the Bunurong elder who's giving artistic direction for all of this.
Exactly, that's right. The idea is that they're safe spaces and spaces where you can lie down and dream.
Nawik Carolyn Briggs has contributed many important ideas to the Sensorium around connecting to the senses, to nature through country, and art making. And her narration of important Bunurong stories can also be heard at the exhibition.
The coastal area of Melbourne was a part of the walking Barine, the track, followed by Bunurong Bagruks, the women, for many thousands of years as they journeyed their meeting place at Monmar, Point Nepean. The journey they made was about connection, creation and renewal.
Unfortunately, due to the need to observe sorry business and her many commitments, Nawik Carolyn Briggs was unable to speak to me about the Sensorium during the making of this story. What you can hear there is the soundscape which was created by Philip Samatsis, who followed guidance from Nawik Carolyn Briggs. It plays throughout the exhibition as a reminder of nature, connecting to the local Kulin seasons as they transition from Guling, or orchid season, to Pawneet, or tadpole season.
So you can hear sounds of this season, which includes water, trickling water, birds, frogs, wind. Occasionally you'll hear thunder and rain as well. The floor makes the impression of a river, and the river guides us around and through to each of these wheelams. And within them, there are things to touch and to listen to and to smell and to see.
Hello. Hi, what's your name?
Nicholas.
So tell me what you're doing here. Tell me about the tubes.
I'm walking through them while there's sound in them.
So what can you hear in here?
Forest water and trees swaying.
Yeah. How does it make you feel?
Calm, yeah, and relaxed.
What else can you hear there? Can you hear, like, is that a cricket or a frog?
Yeah, I can hear, I think that could be a cricket.
This is another wheelam. It's designed like a sort of forest tent cave type of a structure. And inside, it encourages kids to lie down and to, again, to listen to the sounds and connect to their senses and feel calm and safe and cosy.
Shall we go and have a lie down?
Let's go have a lie down.
Okay.
Connecting with the senses through sound and touch in particular in this one is also a way to get out of the space of the head, which is, you know, where worries accumulate, and to just be in the body and be in the moment.
What are you trying to get to on the roof there?
I just want to touch that. Ah, that, that's it.
What does it feel like?
It feels like a rocking horse.
A rocking horse.
Because it's moving, yeah? There are lots of children climbing over all the spaces at the exhibition. I get talking to one child called Kari. We're standing next to a pond wheelam. Can you describe the structure behind you?
Well, first time I saw it and I entered the exhibition, I didn't really know what it was, so I just moved along. But after I came in, I realised, oh, this is actually really cool and amazing.
So, here we are. We're sitting in the Whelan Pond. So if you lie down, what can you see on the ceiling?
I think there were drawings by kids projected onto the roof. I really like them, just relaxing in the pond and looking up at the sky and seeing those drawings.
They could kind of be constellations, I think.
Yeah, I think so. Mm. Well, yeah, I guess so. I like how it's not really a normal exhibition. I like how you can climb into things. And I really like how it's all connected to nature, even though it may not look like it, some of the works. Hi, my name is Elsie.
So, Elsie, tell me about the space we're in.
You can attach things and there's lots of creative stuff.
So there's like lots of yarn and there's kind of like a circular structure and I'm seeing lots of things hanging off it.
Yes.
So have you been making anything?
Yes, I've been making lots of things here. I like how there's mostly creative stuff.
It's very creative. Grace, we're standing in front of a big structure. Describe it for me.
So it's extremely colourful and very tactile. It's covered in textiles and wool. It's been wrapped. It kind of looks like a spider web or a net, but very colourful with lots of dangly things. And it's rainbow coloured. So it's a feast for your eyes and for your senses. And the idea is that children can continue to add to this work. So we'll have wool and fabric inside. And we're encouraging children to make it their own and to contribute. And this is being created by artist Hiromi Tango, who is very passionate about the potential for art to support well-being, both through the making process and also creating experiences for audiences like this, which are kind of magical and quite transformative.
My name is Hiromi Tango, and I am an interdisciplinary artist who is interested in exploring the dialogue between art, health, and inspired by neuroscience and nature. It's my goal always to generate the conversation of a healing journey together.
And Hiromi, tell me, what role do you think art can play in helping children to explore and process their emotions?
We underestimate that we human beings, we are animal and we are part of nature. So that connection between art and the earth, and art can do a lot beyond verbal language connection.
So getting beyond words.
Getting beyond words. There are so much pressure in the society. We human beings, we are trained to express ourselves in a certain way. There is some unspoken pressure and etiquette when you are asked, how are you? We are expected to say, I am well, thank you. And for me, sorry, it makes me a bit emotional, because even you are not well, we are asked to say, I am well, thank you. I just feel for children that so much pressure in children. I just really wonder when I look at their eyes and ask, how are you? And sometimes I see the big eyes open and children cannot say anything. And then I just put the little flowers or soft toys or yarn. They may not say, I'm well, but they start big smile and start interacting, or sometimes no smile, but interacting with arts. And I really believe in the pure communication of nonverbal language or beyond words.
Hiromi Tango created three Whelams, including the large art Whelam that children were adding to when I was at the exhibition.
The brief I provided is, let's create safe and nurturing space for children, that children can feel safe and not being judged and blossom, and to be able to share themselves comfortably And children love to dig and cut and join. So for me, it's a reference of gardening. My work is about the representation of nature and gardening, so of the healthy, nurturing garden.
And it's no coincidence that Hiromi Tango uses explosive, bright, joyful colours. She says it's really good for all our brains, whether they be young or not so young.
I have a science partner, neuroscientist Dr. Emma Burrows, who has been generously providing incredible neuroscience information for my practice. The visual cortex, the vibrant colors, has got the uplifting connections. Really, the bright colors, vibrant colors, really bring joy to human eyes.
So, thinking about bringing joy to another one of our senses, the exhibition has colourful hanging pods that contain smells.
So we have a wonderful artist, Anna Schwann, who's created these for us.
Some smell pods.
Smell pods, that's right. And the idea is that, again, like finding ways for kids to connect with their senses. But the beautiful thing about smell is that it naturally encourages you to take a long and deep breath. And so it'll be another one of these nice ways that kids will be practicing techniques that are supportive of calmness without really explicitly having to do it. And it's something that families can do at home as well, finding nice smells and getting their kids to take slow, deep breaths and smell them and to explore different smells as well.
All right, let's try one of these smell pods. So what's this?
This is a eucalyptus peppermint gum.
Oh, wow. Can I have another smell? Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, just immediately, like, don't you just feel like it's a beautiful thing?
Where's it taking you? Breath.
It reminds me of my childhood, actually. And that's a beautiful thing about smells, very connected with memory. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I can imagine being back. I grew up in the countryside. I can imagine being back in the countryside and smelling this, you know, leaf on a beautiful tree.
What inspired you to embark on the Children's Sensorium?
So it comes from a few places. I've done a lot of research on the links between art, well-being and young people. But personally, the pandemic raised the issue of children's well-being and particularly, yeah, children's emotional distress quite profoundly because my daughter started to suffer from anxiety during the pandemic and she was only like 3.5 to 4.5 when we were having the most profound lockdown. As a parent, it was quite eye-opening to experience that. But that in itself wasn't the main motivator for this. It was when we went to seek help for my daughter that I was just really confronted by the demand on mental health services for young children. We couldn't even get onto a waiting list to see someone, and I was told several times to call back in a few months to try to get onto a waiting list, which meant we were looking at wait times of up to 12 months. And that just made me realize how many young people and how many families were experiencing what we were experiencing. And so the idea behind this exhibition is that it's a strength-based approach, using the arts to provide children and families with simple strategies, evidence-backed strategies that they can try at home. But it also offers links to professional services and mental health services as well. So it's not in place of that, but it's recognizing that there is a gap and a huge need at the moment. We wanted to really give things to our visitors that they can take home and use at home. And these three things are really simple things that anyone can do anywhere. So a simple activity around connecting with the senses. You can do outdoors or indoors. Close your eyes, take a few deep breaths, and then try to locate something you can hear, something you can smell, something you can touch, something you can taste, and so on. Connecting to nature is also something that we can all try to do, and it benefits adults as well as children. And art making is a really powerful way for children to process complex feelings. Children aren't always the best at articulating how they feel, and finding other ways of processing feelings is really important, and art is well known to be good for that.
this exhibition was inspired by the pandemic. We've been through 2.5 years of it so far. It was partially inspired by your personal experiences. How are things going in your family?
It's definitely not a quick fix kind of journey. We are hugely improved on where we were a year ago. And a lot of these strategies have been important. I think for my daughter, it's been her working out what works for her, introducing her to different techniques and just talking about the fact that it's natural to have big feelings and that we all struggle with that. And I think adults, when we learn to recognize our own stresses and develop strategies for that, it's a great entry point to talk to our kids and to get them thinking about things that they can do. And then ultimately, they have the resources they need in life to manage the ups and downs that we expect to come our way.
Grace McQuilton, ending that story by Erica Voles. The Children's Sensorium is on in Melbourne at RMIT University until the 8th of October, and there's more information about it on the Life Matters homepage. Big thanks to RMIT's Philip Samatsis for the use of some of the sounds behind the sensorium in that story.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.